Good evening, everyone. This is Chuck, K0 Hurricane, and welcome to the Vakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. It operates on the Minnesota-Wisconsin room number 21493. This is an open technical net, but please check into net control. Tonight's net control stations are K0 Hurricane Chuck, K9EQ Chris, N0YQ Steve, and Whiskey 4 Andy Oscar Delta Otis. The Vakken Amateur Radio Society takes its name from Earl Vakken, who was the founder of Medtronic. Earl was always interested in radio and is a founding sponsor of the Pavic Museum of Broadcasting. Earl allows us to use his name because he's a strong supporter of learning, experimentation, and helping others. You can learn more about VARS and Earl at www.w0mdt.com. The 444.075 and the 444.525 operate from the Medtronic facility near Highway 10 and I-35W in Moundsview. Remember, there is a chat window available at hamoperator.com. Select MinWiz and then MinWiz Chat. Net Control will only be taking check-ins from stations with traffic for the net. Please reply with your name, city, and state. We'll acknowledge your call and put it on the list in the order received. All right, let's see if we have any announcements for the net. I know I have one. Hams in the Park is coming up, April 10th, I think it is, for the next one on the list. So hope to see you there, all things ham, at Long Lake Regional Park. Is there anybody else with a announcement for the net? Go ahead now. All right, hearing no further announcements, let me see what we've got for check-ins. We're taking check-ins with traffic or comments for the net only. Give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now. Now let me try that again. Looking for people with questions or comments for the net. Give us your name, city, and state. If it does work this time, we'll have to try smoke signals, I guess. So if you've got a comment or a question for the net, check in now. Name, city, and state. All right, the fire has started in the backyard, but I don't know how many of you are going to see the smoke. We've got sustained winds of 25 and gusts of 45, so it might be pretty hard. So try it again. Anybody with a comment or a question for the net? Looks like it's going to be a real quiet one. Oh, I think this has got to be the slowest start we've had in quite a while. I would like to mention that it doesn't have to be a super heavy-duty technical question. There are a lot of people with new radios and newer radios to them with questions on how things work, how their radios function. We do take those questions, too, and that's part of the fun, is helping people get involved in the whole thing here. So if you're new and you want more information, feel free to give us a yell now. Let us help you figure out how to run your radio. So if you're one of them and you've got a question, go ahead. Name, city, and state.
Okay, Chuck, I'll give you one. W0TJW, Terry in St. Peter with a question.
Whiskey 0, Tango Juliet Whiskey, Terry, St. Peter. I was beginning to think that things were broken, Terry. Thanks for checking in. Let's see what you got for a question for us.
Well, I'm curious. On my FT3, I have not been able to figure out how to change the clock from a 12-hour format to 24-hour format, because we make references to Zulu, which is a 24-hour format timekeeper. So I guess I was wondering, why would Yaesu default the clock on the FT3 to 12-hour clock? Anyway, just curious. Back to you, Chuck. W0TJW.
Well, I can see Otis at home looking through his FT3 book now. But He says he can't help on that. Oh, no. I don't have an FT3, so I can't help. Somebody out there's got to have an FT3. If you do, and you can help us out. How do you change the clock to 24-hour format? Give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead.
KF0BJT, Chris in Newmarket. I don't have an answer to that question.
All right. Well, I got a note that Otis is going to look it up. So, Chris, Kilo Fox Zero, Bravo Juliet Tango, why don't you go ahead with your question?
So, I tried to check into a net the other night, a regular FM, and no one's hearing me, and I'm wondering if I maybe bumped some button on my FTM 400. Are you aware of any common mistakes like that where transmit doesn't seem to work, but receive works?
Well, I guess my answer to your question would be, as you're looking at the radio now, I know you have to be in the upper VFO because you're speaking in digital. Does it say DN to the right, and does the DN have a line above it?
Chuck, yes, right now it does.
Okay, so if you were trying to talk to them while your radio is locked into DN, which is digital narrow, all they will get is a burst of digital noise. They won't get any voice, but it'll automatically switch back to receive so that you would hear them in FM. So in order to get it to switch back and forth, you have to go in the menu and enable it. And what one of the ways to do it, I don't have one sitting here that I can work on it, but the DX button, if you push that, it'll cycle through all of the available options, and one of them will be DN with a bar on top. And when the bar on top is flashing, then it'll automatically go to FM when it hears FM. It'll go to voice wide if it hears voice wide, and then digital narrow when it hears digital narrow. Back to you, Chris.
Okay, sounds good. I'll definitely check that out. Everything has been working fine for months, and then just the last couple of nights, it's been quiet. So I must have bumped it somewhere. I will take a look at that configuration. KF0BJT, back to net.
All right, good question. Hopefully the answer works for you. And, well, we're still waiting on Otis to look that information up about the clock, so let's try another question. If anybody else out there has a question or a comment for the net, go ahead now. Check it in. Name, city, and state.
Yeah, Whiskey Echo 5, Tango Romeo Echo, Pete from St. Peter.
W9CPY, Gary, Wausau, Wisconsin.
All right, we got two of them that time. I got Whiskey Echo 5, Tango Romeo Echo out of St. Peter, Minnesota, and Whiskey 9, Charlie Papa Yankee Gary out of Wausau, Wisconsin. So let's try Whiskey Echo 5, Tango Romeo Echo, St. Peter. Go ahead.
Thanks for ringing the net today. I was very glad you could help me problem solve. I have an FTM 300. And the APRS side works as far as tracking other people. It's not beaconing out. And I went through the settings according to the manual and did everything. It won't let me transmit. I was wondering if you had any suggestions of another thing to look at. Billy Five Fury back to net.
All right. Your audio is not very clear to me. Can you try that again? Speak a little slower. What isn't beaconing out? Is it the APRS or is it the group mode?
It was the APRS mode wasn't beaconing out. got a friend who's been, we've been trying to play with it and figure it out. In the morning, on our way to and from work, we still haven't had it up. So I was wondering if anybody had any suggestions of another setting to look at that I haven't thought of or haven't stumbled across. Back net.
Okay, I did do a write-up on the correct setup for the FTM-400, and I know the 300 was the same. So you can look up that on hamoperator.com. I think it's still there. The other thing, the first thing that actually came to my mind is, are you trying to run APS on the B-band or the A-band? Because it will only beacon on the A-band, if I remember correctly. I could be wrong. I probably am. But back to you.
I thought it would only work on the beacon on the B side, so I could certainly try switching back and forth. I've been running the digital side on, from my commute from on the A side, and on the B side I've had the APRS set back.
Okay. I did just get a note that APRS is designed to work on the B band. So that's not the answer to the question. But there is a list somewhere on timeoperator.com on how we set up the FTM 400 and made it work. I'm not that experienced in a user that I can just do it by memory like this. I did just get a note that says, if you have smart beaconing turned on, it won't beacon unless it's triggered by movement. So if you have smart beaconing turned on, you have to be moving for it to see it. So I guess the first thing I would try is to turn your frequency way up so that it beacons more often, and then have it set to a manual beaconing so that you can manually check and make sure everything is set up. Just two questions there. Anybody else have anything for Peter on APRS setup with the FTM-300?
I don't have an answer for that, but I do for the clock. 89Z, Dave, Tijuana, Illinois.
All right, well, maybe we can come back to the beaconing thing. It's going to be kind of wild night, I guess. So, 89 Zulu, Dave, why don't you go ahead and tell us about the clock.
Yeah, I just purchased this FT3. Went up to Milwaukee, Wisconsin on Saturday. So, I mean, it's new to me, too. But if you hold down display and then you click on configure, you scroll all the way down with your VFO to clock, it'll say clock type, click on that, and then you it's got clock type A or B. If you select clock type B, that is the 24-hour clock. So I just figured that out for myself. So hope that helps. 89Z, Dave, Tijuana, Illinois.
All right. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate you helping us out here, and that's Hams Helping Hams. That's what we're all about. And, maybe Terry, Whiskey Zero Tango Juliet Whiskey, can go play with his radio and come back and let us know if it works. Well, that, I'm going to go back up to Whiskey Echo 5 Tango Romeo Echo. Peter had that question about APRS setup with no beaconing. Anybody else having an answer to that one? If you do, give us your name, city, and state.
This is AV8DT, Ron in Cedar Springs.
And VK5JP about the smart beaconing.
Yeah, see what you got for us. Oh, I also see we got one from VK5, Julia Papa. I must have stepped on him. So, Ron, go ahead.
Good evening, Chuck.
I just wasn't sure if the other station there, did he have his modem turned on, so if you go into the hold the display button, go into the APRS menu, item number 4, the modem's on, and then you go to 16, and that'd be your TF series transmit. And then I'm sure Pete there will also talk a little bit more about the smart beaconing. I think that's what he was saying. So if the smart beaconing's on, which is, I think for handhelds, is smart beacon number 3 is kind of like set up that way. You can turn that off, and but if you turn it on and you beacon the first time, it should at least show your position. And then it's not going to report anything until you start meeting the requirements of the smart beacon. Back to you, Chuck. Good evening. It's 88DT.
All right. Thank you, Ron. I appreciate that. And VK5, Julie Papa, Pete, Adelaide, South Australia. Go ahead.
Yeah, good evening, Chuck, and everyone on the net this evening. First up, the default thing for the 300, 400. I think you find that for most of the handhelds as well, the default setting for the APRS is on VFOB, and you can shift it to A, but on the 400, why would you? Because your VFOA is your predominant one for the digital, so that's why it comes out of the factory set for VFOB. The other thing to remember, once you switch that smart beaconing on and you move away from the beaconing frequency, it will beacon on any frequency that you work on. So just be mindful of the fact that once you've operated it, and the other chappy there was right on, I was going to mention those settings as well. But the one thing to remember, that once you've turned that smart beaconing on and you've moved off the frequency that you receive the beacons, it will beacon on any frequency. So just bear that in mind. That's all I've got to say at the moment. But it does work quite well on both the 400, the 300, and of course the handhelds that have got it, which is the FT2 and the 3. But it does require movement for it to beacon, and the intervals can be set to whatever is in the handbook. Back to net control.
All right. Well, hopefully that gets Peter Whiskey Echo 5 Tango Romeo Echo some things to try. And I've got one other person here that's on my list. Whiskey 9, Charlie Papa Yankee, Gary, Wausau, Wisconsin. Sorry I've been jumping around so much, but I think we got you. Go ahead. What do you have for us tonight, you, there, Gary?
Well, this is W9CPY. Good evening, all. And not much, since it was a quiet net, I wanted to just pop in and say thanks. I don't check in often, but I listen religiously, and I learn. And then something maybe of the nature of a wry observation or a minor gripe. I have a 100, I have a 3200, I have a 3, and I've had a 70. And doggone if APR or fusion controls on all of those radios are different. I would wish they'd standardized so that I don't have to carry a laminated cheat sheet around depending on what radio I'm using. I remember back in the older days when they had their first Wires X rollout, they had a dedicated Wires X button on a lot of the radios. It was analog, I believe. But it's just an observation for someone who does work in a field of user friendliness. So thanks a lot for the net, guys. W9CQ.
Yep, and, well, it's been a gripe of mine for several years. The differences between the handhelds and the mobiles, and then the mobiles and the 991, and, yeah. I'm going to go there. They're all written by different people with different playbooks, it looks like. K9EQ, Chris, you've got some information for us. Go ahead.
Yeah, I kept meaning to bring this up when daylight savings time hit, but we have a out-of-date document over on hamoperator.com about setting the time on the radios. So here's a recommended way of doing that. You can either manually set the time, or you can have the GPS and the radio set the time. So this applies to only the radios that have GPS, which are the only radios to tell you the time. So what's recommended is that you set the radio to, there's a selection option, and it'll be different places in the different radios, but you can look it up. You set it to adjust time with GPS, or GPS set time, maybe they call it, and you put that on auto. And then there is a time zone setting, and you set your time zone for the displacement from UTC, since GPS is going to give you UTC. And the little bit for daylight savings time is you adjust that by 1 hour, or depending upon what time zone and whether you have daylight savings time you happen to be in. For all of that to work, you have to have GPS turned on and get a signal from the satellite. So the next thing is if you have an HT, you have the option to turn the GPS on or off. Turn on the GPS and then go outside or whatever you have to do to get a signal. It'll get the time from that signal and it will set the clock. If you go in and manually adjust the time, it will turn off the GPS update of the clock. So just keep that in mind. I just never adjust mine manually. I just adjust the time zone, and then periodically I'll have the GPS turned on, and it will update the clock. And so I find that the best way to do that. So, bottom line, GPS time set that to auto. Time zone, set that to whatever displacement you need from UTC, and let the GPS run and pick up the time, and you're good to go. If you set the time manually, none of that stuff works. It'll just go off whatever manual time that you set. And I don't know what this means, but on my FT2, it has a 24-hour clock, and I don't see any way to switch it to a 12-hour clock. So, anyway. You might want to wait 12 hours and see if the digits got bigger. I don't know. Anyway, the FT2 is a 24-hour clock, whether you like it or not. The just looking for the clock A and B is a little not what you think it is. What it is. Is a lot of times in radios you'll want to have like a clock oscillator for the microcontrollers, and that might cause little birdies or something on a frequency you want to listen to. So what Yaesu has done is they give you a clock A and B, and that just slightly changes the frequency of the clock for the digital circuitry. And the purpose of that would be to eliminate a little birdie or interference on a particular channel if you have that. I mean, it virtually never happens for me, so I don't worry about it. That doesn't have anything to do with the time of day clock. So it's a little overloading the clock term. Both uses are correct. It's adjusting the clock for the microcontroller. It's not adjusting the real-time clock, which a software guy would call it that, the RTC, rather than clock. Anyway, there you go. Everything you didn't want to know about clocks. Back to NetK90Q.
Thanks again, KN6MZA.
All right, Chris, thank you very much for that. And Otis, Whiskey 4, India Oscar Delta, you've got something to add here now.
Uh, K0RK in the net, W4IOD. Appreciate your patience, Chuck. It's a little difficult when your hands are not functioning as designed, but I will actually have to echo exactly what Chris said as far as the clock type. Not to be argumentative with anyone, but that's what was taking me so long. First, I had to find the manual, and then I actually had to research what the clock type meant. And Chris is exactly correct. That is the way it's spelled out in the manual on page 78. It's under config, I think, menu 6. And here's where the confusion lies as far as the 24-hour clock and the 12-hour clock. On the FT3, from my investigation, if you go into display, configuration, down to menu 19, and then select it, you can find that on page 82 of the manual. It will show you the time in 24 hours. And then if you exit out of that, which there's a little feature in there that you can actually set it manually, but I agree with Chris, why not be easy and just set it up with your time zone and let the GPS do it for you. But there's actually, you can activate check the block as far as signal, and you'll have an alarm that'll go off every hour on the hour if you're so inclined to. But anyhow, that's an option. Clear out of that and actually go back and hit all the way out of the menu, hit display, hold it, it will bring up your GPS, and then touch the screen, and it will bring up your 8-hour clock. At least that's the way it works here, Chuck. Forgive my shortcomings this evening as far as being slow, but I wanted to make sure that I researched that thoroughly, and I appreciate Chris giving the description of the clock as far as the processor and the radio. That saves me a lot of time. That way I don't time the system out. So that is what I found. There are two different clocks on the radio, the one in the config setting and the one on the display setting, which about like Chris, it's a whole lot of trouble to get into the FT3 to see the clock, where the FT1 and the FT2, it's out front for you. But that's just my personal comments. W4IOD, back to net control.
All right, since we've had so much on this, I got confused. Otis, would you go through the steps with the FT3 to get to the 12 and 24? I know you said it's through the display option, so why don't you just go through those steps one more time for me?
Oh, sure, Chuck. That's not a problem. For the FT3, if you're actually wanting to set it manually and see the 24-hour clock, it's on page 78 of the manual for those that have the manual or the radio. But it's display, touch config, scroll down to menu 19, and then you'll see your 24-hour clock there with the date. You can actually set it manually. That's where you see the 24-hour clock, and then once you have it set, come back out of the configuration menu, back to the display. Hold the display button to bring up your GPS map, if you will, or display. Touch it, it'll take you over to the time screen, and your time screen will be in an 8-hour clock. In other words, it'll see they're going to show 8:03. Eastern, or wherever you have it set up manually as far as your time zone. But in Central Time, it would be 8:03 p.m. is what it's going to show on that display. So it's easy to get confused through that because you have the 24-hour clock when you're setting it manually and then the 12-hour clock on the actual display. At least that's the way mine is working here, Chuck. Hopefully that cleared things up. W4IOD, back to net control.
All right, Otis, thank you very much for that. Appreciate you taking the time to research it while we took those other questions. I'm going to move along now and see if anybody has any other new questions. Name, city, and state. All things Fusion related. Give us your name, city, and state. Go ahead now. This is Chuck, K0RK.
This is Miguel in Hollis, New Hampshire.
All right, Kilo Charlie 1, Lima Kilo Oscar, Miguel in Hollis, New Hampshire. Why don't you go ahead with your question or comment?
Yes, thanks for taking my question. Hopefully it's a simple one. And on the FT3, which I'm using now, what is the simplest way to switch from one room to another? That is, you know, if I'm in Minwis and I want to switch to the Wolfgang, I tell you what I do today is I press and hold the X and I use the touchscreen. I'd rather not have to use a touchscreen. So is there a way of using the knob and pressing a button to select? Or better yet, is it possible to create a memory that allows me to switch from one to another? I mean, I guess the memory, it's obvious if it's two different, you know, like a repeater, and then a node or something like that, two different frequencies, but assuming the same frequency, you know, how do you do this without having to do the touch display? Reason being, sometimes I don't click on the right thing, and I just feels like I have to press too many things. So maybe there is a better way, and I figured I asked this group of more knowledgeable people. This is KC1LKO. Back to it.
All right. Well, I'm going to send that one over to Whiskey 4 India Oscar Delta Otis, since you've got one of those. But remember, there's another Wires X manual that's not part of the published one, or the one that you get in the box. There is a specific Wires X manual for the FT3, and inside there, there's how to save a Wires X favorite. So, Otis, over to you.
All right, Chuck. Well, apologies again for the delay. I was actually reading and caught up in something. That is an option as far as the FT3. And I think we've discussed that as far as how many memories will it actually store? And for some reason, just off the top of my head, I'm thinking somewhere around 200. But I think the question that he's looking for, you just actually give him the answer to, the WiresX manual itself is over on, it's a separate manual over on Yeezy's website. When you bring it up, the WiresX menu, and I'm trying to do this from memory, Miguel, I think it's you actually touch the room, and I can't remember exactly the process to that, so I don't want to give you wrong information. And to be quite frankly, I don't use that a whole bunch because I'm a self-serving repeater owner, which means I generally change rooms by the firmware. But there is an add button. 20 banks per 20 per bank, 5 banks, so. And thank you, Chris. Memory's not what it used to be, but yeah, there's 20 memory slots per bank, and there's 5 banks, C1 through C5. And then there's an add button on that. But Miguel, the manual is available for download. They don't include that, the same as the APRS manuals. They don't include that with the radio, but that's where you'll find that information. Sorry. I'm not more proficient on that, but I'm just being honest. W4IOD, back to net control.
Thank you, Otis. I do appreciate you helping me out there, since I don't have an FT3 and no FT3 manual there. Miguel, did that help you out at all?
Well, guys, thanks for that pointer to that manual. I had forgotten about that manual. Hopefully, it will have the answer there. I should have clarified. I know how to add. I know about the banks and how to make the memories. I actually have one of the banks is with the memories for Wolfgang. Another one has Minwiz. Another one has America Link. My question really is about how do I navigate these banks and memories and then select the one I want. without having to get my finger and precisely with the edge of the, you know, the finger touch the right area of the display to make it select. I know I can use the knob to select it, but there's no enter, there's no select physical button. You actually have to tap the display. I was hoping that there was some key combination I could use to select it. Hopefully that clarified, but it might be in the manual for all I know. So thanks for that pointer. Back to next.
KC3RNB, connect.
Chris, K9EQ, said, once you get it to the correct spot by using the knob, you can push the DISP button, or the DSP key, and that will enter for you in that situation. So the DSP connection or button will do the enter for you once you found it. Back to you.
Yeah, it does it. I'll try it again. It does it everywhere except when you're selecting the memories among the banks. It does it on every other place on the radio except here. That was every time I press it because I get used to it. I see the big display with a radar-looking thing, a circle. So that's when I go, oh, that's right. That doesn't work here. Unless there's some option that I may have pressed that is making it do that instead of doing the select. Maybe there is one, and I don't know. So I'll look it up and see if there's another answer there. Hopefully this helped clarify even further. KC1, LKO.
Comment, K7RAA.
All right, K7REA got you in there. And Miguel, maybe this will give you a little bit more information. So K7REA, go ahead.
Yeah, if I remember right, all you have to do is once you have your memory spot highlighted, all you have to do is hit the push to talk and it'll select it. K7REA.
All right, well, Ken, thank you very much for that. And I also got the DSP button. It has to be a short push, very brief press. So Yaesu does that on some of them where you can push long and does one thing. If you push short, it does another. But I'm sure that's all explained in the Warriors X version of the manual. Great question, and hopefully we got some help for you coming there from all of these different guys. I did not know about the one pushing the push to talk to get it to switch. That's another new one. So, Ken, thank you very much for that, and I'll try again, see if anybody else has got any great questions like that. Name, city, and state. If you've got a good question or a comment for the net, please check in now.
W9AUV, Whiskey 9 Alpha Uniform Victor, Terry in Batavia, Illinois.
Whiskey 9 Alpha Union Victor, Terry, Batavia, Illinois, go ahead.
Yeah, I've got an FTM 400 in my car, and I've got an FT991 here at home. And when I'm in GM mode on my 991, it displays the call sign, and for some call signs, it will display distance as well in GM mode. On my 400 in the car in GM mode, it only displays the call sign, but it has a place where it looks like it would have space to display the distance, but I never see distance in GM mode on the 400. So I'm wondering if that's an unimplemented feature. Distance is displayed when I'm not in GM mode on the 400 in other screens, but not in the GM mode screen. So that's my question. Is that actually an implemented feature, or is it something that's just not there? Back to the net, W9AUV. Well, Terry, you're really taxing my memory here. I don't know. I thought there was a way to see the distance, but maybe you have to hit the display button. But I don't remember, so if somebody can answer Terry's question on the FTM-300, while you're in group mode, how do you see the distance? If you can answer that question, check in now. Give me your name, city, and state. No, Chuck, it's the 400, not the 300. All right, my bad on the numbers there. Sorry about that, the 400. If you have an answer for the 400, please check in now. Name, city, and state. I'm not hearing anything, Terry. So we'll try one more time here. How do you get the distance on the FTM-400 when you're in group mode? Does anybody have an answer for that?
K9EQ.
All right, K9EQ. Chris, go ahead.
This is going from memory because... And let me give you a caution on group mode. So when you're in group mode, your transmitter is transmitting about every 20 seconds. That's how it knows that, you know, who's in range. And as a repeater operator, I really hate it when people go and put their radio on the repeater frequency and turn group mode on, because it causes the repeater to key up every 20 seconds, and there's not much you can do about it, and, you know, people might wander off and go on a vacation to Tahiti or something, and what do you do? It's easy to not realize that's happening. The response to the question on the distance, so this is one of these things that varies between radios. Most radios will just give you the, and each of the little boxes for the call signs will give you a little line that indicates the signal strength. Some of the radios will give you distance, and you can switch between those. I think the FT-991, of all things, will give you the distance. But the FTM-400, being the oldest fusion radio, is probably not as fancy. So I think and I don't know which one of these work, but you can try them both. I think if you tap on the particular station, the little box on the screen, that it may come up with the compass display, which will give you the bearing and distance. So they do make it easy for you to do that. So I suspect the number one answer is you just tap on whatever the call sign is, and it will come up with the bearing and distance. Of course, if that station does not have GPS, they're not going to have a bearing and distance. So, you know, verify first that the station at all has a GPS. I think you can also just push the display button momentarily, you know, how you cycle through the various display options that are available. And I think you can push that, and that will give you the station that's currently transmitting. That's from memory, but I know you can do it, because, of course, that's one of the main purposes of group mode, is to keep track of all your people running around for whatever event you're doing. Back to net, K9EQ.
All right, Chris, and I seem to remember that there was a difference between the FTM-DR, or 400-DR, and the FTM-400-XDR. So they might have changed things in that. Terry, hopefully that does help you out. Have you got anything you'd like to add? Back to you.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense. I can see the distance in the compass display screen. And, yeah, I do have a 400 XDR, and it's updated, so that kind of makes sense. But on the 991, it displays the distance right there on the GM screen. And if you guys don't know, there is a way to turn off beaconing in group mode. If you just turn the squelch down, it will never transmit. So you can just listen all day long and see all the call signs come up and never transmit a beacon. Just so you know, too, beacons do not go out over wires X. They only go out RF unless you, beacons do not go out over wires X. But push-to-talk does go out over wires X to activate a group mode call sign display. So that's just something I found from experimenting. So back to the net, W9EV.
All right, we're always learning more stuff about our radios. Terry, thank you very much for that. And, well, I'm going to make this last call for the net. Last call for the net. If you've got a comment or a question, go ahead now. Give us your name, city, and state.
Big guy, bunch of IP again.
All right, last one for the net. VK5, Julie Papa, Pete, go ahead. Try it again. VK5, Julie Papa, Pete, go ahead with your comment or question.
Yeah, let's try again. I must have lost the lock here momentarily. Yeah, I was saying that for those who have got the 400s, if they go to the OC site and under the files, click on the files and go down, you will see there is a group mode manual. There is an actual manual, and it has all the information in that manual that the guys need to set it up, and it shows various other functions that are available in the group mode. There, Chuck, back to you.
Very good point, Pete, that there is a manual for group mode itself. So, yep, Inisu hides those extra manuals, and, well, we just got to do with what they got. With that, I'm going to bring the net to a close, and I want to thank everyone for listening. We meet here every Monday night at 7:30 p.m. Central Time and cover all things fusion. Thanks for listening to the Bakken Amateur Radio Society Fusion Radio Net. Please allow 1 minute for rooms that wish to disconnect before resuming use of the room. Everyone have a great week. This is Chuck K0, ORK. 7-3 all.